This is the Michael Bryan Show.
Hi everyone, welcome back to the show. And today I'm joined with Arthur Root, who's the founder and CEO of Nostra, which is a tech company that helps brands drive conversions and lower costs of advertising on websites and things of that nature. So Arthur, thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Michael. Really excited to be here and dive in and see what we can do and talk about together.
Now, I know that websites and things like that are very old in terms of how long they've been available. So like for as long as the internet has been around, people have been able to create websites for the most part. So I'd be curious as to what your history is with websites and why you chose to, I guess, stay on the website optimization front rather than changing or shifting.
Yeah. I've been working kind of in the web, working around the web for a long time, and it's a great place to be. There is always more and more to do, and there are kind of two competing forces. One is that the internet is getting faster and faster over time because of technologies like Nostra and others. However, the internet is also shifting to a more mobile experience, which is inherently slower, actually. And so, the last force here is that humans, users, are expecting a faster and faster experience on their end. The attention span of the internet has gone down. So it's a very interesting kind of trifecta there, where you've got, some market forces, you've got technology that's being developed, and you've got, humans that expect more and more every day. And so, when we originally started Nostra, we didn't start off as a web performance company. We started off as a personalization engine, trying to tailor user experiences based on who the human was on the site. And we realized that we were slowing down the website. And that was kind of the number one complaint that we had from our merchant partners. And when we did that, we took a step back one day and said, hey, what if we took our biggest weakness, the reason why people are not thrilled with our product, and we decided to actually take a step back and say, hey, what if we made the website faster? When we made the website faster, the demand from our merchant base went through the roof. The impact to the end customer, which is what we really care about, was just drastically better. We would have these, go live calls, and you would just see the face on merchants and users just get so much better and happier when the page would load in right away. And so, it's really a passion of mine now to just make things as fast and as performant as possible. And I really look forward to continuing my work here for the next, however many years.
What are some of the problems with internet speeds? Because, I mean, them being slow a decade or two ago probably seems more commonplace now, but in the year 2024, is that still a big problem, or do people have it solved? I'm picturing it being a more uncommon problem these days.
I think that there's a baseline now that is better. The place that Nostra focuses is e-commerce sites, so you kind of have to get a little technical here, and so bear with me as I dive in here. But an e-commerce website is made up of static content and dynamic content. Static content is like an image or a color scheme. It's the same for everybody on the site. So if you take, that information, you say, okay, there's a good amount of static content, but there's also a lot of dynamic content on the web for e-commerce sites. And as the internet progresses, there's going to be more and more dynamic content as things get more and more personalized. So dynamic content, you can almost think about as things that are different for every single user, i.e., your shopping cart. We can't have the same shopping carts. A lot of times, like your reviews widget or your personalization will also be dynamic. And within that dynamic content, So I guess to take a step back to static content. So for static content, you can do something called caching on servers. So you can have what caching essentially means is having a piece of content or whatever it is in the local part of the memory. So it's kind of already top of mind. You don't have to go back and think about it and then build it. It's kind of pre-built. And so what we're able what any website in the world is able to do is put their static content that is on a pre-built version of it, because it's the same for everyone. It doesn't need to be different, on a content delivery network, which is a server, a group of servers around the world. Put kind of the static content there, and when a end user gets to the site, the static content can arrive through these kind of advanced networks. However, for dynamic content, if we remember, the content is going to be different based on who's visiting the site, right? The shopping experience is going to be different. So you would think that you cannot put that in the local part of the brain, right? You can't put that as a pre-built version because it's different for everyone. However, what Nostra's identified is that there is static elements within dynamic content. So this would probably be more technical than the show would like, but there are elements, kind of the HTML, that underlie the dynamic elements of the site. So the HTML for the shopping cart is the same for Michael as it is for Arthur. And Nostra is able to actually extend out the content delivery network capabilities to the static elements or the static aspects of dynamic content. And when we're able to do that, you can essentially make the website around 30 to 40% faster. And so we've focused pretty much entirely on e-commerce industry to date, because that kind of has the best combination of a lot of dynamic content and a lot of traffic running through the site, and having kind of a very key performance indicator in kind of conversion. And so that's that's kind of the highest level overview on Nostra. It kind of makes it does make the website 30 to 40% faster, depending on the setup of the website.
So does this come down to standardizing certain elements? So if you think of a video, maybe the intro and the outro are the same. So would that be picked up on, and would that go under static or dynamic in that case? Does it go to that level, or is it a bit more simple than that?
Well, if the video is the same for every single human, that would be considered static because it's the same for Michael as it is for Arthur. If the video is different from Michael as it is for Arthur, then it would be kind of dynamic. So that's the way that we like to think about it, is it doesn't matter what's actually changing once you load in the site, if you will, if it changes for every single person. But if it changes on a per person basis, that's when Nostra will have a huge impact.
So what elements outside of the shopping cart, i.e. if I buy trainers and you buy, I don't know, trousers, that's then different. I'm picturing that based on just the order preferences. But what else can change? What else is different?
Yeah, you'd be amazed. On average, our merchants have over 40 elements on their website that are dynamic. Another example would be the reviews that someone's shown. E-commerce sites are becoming more and more sophisticated and actually showing different reviews based on who's on the site. And so that would be considered dynamic. Showing different product SKUs, different tests. There's sometimes people are testing out if the A variant of saying try today is better than the B variant of buy now. So that's dynamic. So there's a lot of stuff kind of along those lines.
That would mean something as simple as Amazon showing me what, if you like Red Bull, maybe you will like Monster drinks, or if you like Harry Potter, maybe you would like this. So that in a way would encourage people to buy things that are like the things that they already are, making it more personalized, and that is what's slowing down the website performance. So it seems like a push pull, because without those preferences, the sales might drop, but then without the preferences, the website may speed up, which may then increase sales because they're not disappearing and going somewhere else. Am I Am I painting the appropriate picture there?
Yeah, exactly. It's always a push and pull for merchants at Nostra. So, a lot of our most successful partners have used the fact that Nostra is making their website faster to allow them to do other things that they previously were not doing. And so it is kind of allowing you either to have a lightning fast experience or to say, all right, well, I want my page load time to be a second. So now that I took 500 milliseconds off, I have another 500 milliseconds to play with to create this unique, awesome user experience.
That's an interesting thought, actually, when you think of how much effort companies are going through to make the experience more personalized. So every customer gets something that's tailored to them, whether it's, I don't know, tracking on search engines or behavior on social media, that sort of thing. The experience is itself becoming more and more personal. Hoping that that increases conversions, but then it's also having knock-on effects on the website performance or the shopping cart performance. And if things crash, I mean, you hear websites crashing and social media crashing almost every few months now. It is that it's difficult. It's difficult to get that balance right for some, or is it just as easy as you make it as personal as possible, and then you then want to look at, okay, well, what do we need to also speed up the site? Is there a particular way that you'd recommend companies do it? Is there a right way?
Yeah, I think early on in a business, the simpler is almost always the better. In my experience, using one of the templated services like a Shopify or Wix to build a website and not spending all this time and energy trying to build one yourself is definitely the better way to do things. You should get a lot of out of the box functionality. I think once you start looking at companies that are doing tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars a year, then you kind of start having to have those conversations of, what do we need here? How much is this impacting conversion? How much is this impacting search engine optimization? My advice would be if you're very early on building a business, sub $5 million a year. Keep it as simple as possible. Site speed should be important. Maybe a tool like Nostra makes sense, but you probably want to keep it as simple as possible and just going to use as many templated services as possible. And then once you get to doing kind of tens of millions a year, I would say, five plus million. Yeah, we have merchants doing billions of dollars a year. Then you start wanting to focus in on personalization, focusing in on site speed and really trying to kind of eke out those last the last mile there.
Paint a bit of a picture for everybody, really, in terms of how big of a difference this makes, and how do you notice what a third of a second in terms of the speed would impact it? Because I'm wondering if people even notice it, or is it just a case of if the site crashes, then you lose money, or does a slight shift in the speed make that big of a difference?
The business that we or the numbers that we've seen are for every 100 milliseconds that you make your website faster, the conversion rate and revenue on the website goes up by 1%. This has been corroborated by Walmart, Amazon, Deloitte, and others. And so when you're talking about, making the site half a second faster, so 500 milliseconds, a 5% bump in revenue can be pretty meaningful to the brand. In terms of how it's, my best guess on how it's impacting consumers is I don't think it makes a huge impact on desktop. I think that unless you seriously mess up your website, your desktop experience on, good Wi-Fi is going to be as good as it gets. It's not going to move the needle. But we always optimize and we try to think about things for the person on that cracked iPhone 5 on the subway or on the way to the airport, with somebody yapping in their ear. And that's when, having that extra 500 milliseconds or in, a lot of cases, 1, 2, 3 seconds on the load time, having that be faster makes all the difference. So Yeah, that's my view, is that on desktop, maybe it makes a little bit of an impact, but on mobile, that's where you're seeing more and more of an impact, and that's where 80 plus percent of the traffic we see is coming from.
That's a good point, actually, because I can't tell you how many times I've been traveling, whether it's public transport or otherwise. The fact that, yeah, a couple of seconds probably seems quite quick if you think of Wi-Fi dropping or signal changing, and all of a sudden you can't do what you wanted to do. I've often just turned things off and just started again. So I can see how, with the variety of things like signal, Wi-Fi, that sort of thing, that can make a big difference. Is there an element of it not relying on that? Like, how would you overcome something like that? Because that would appear to me, anyway, to be outside of your control almost.
Well, yeah, so you can control part of it, and then part of it is, based on the network that they're on. And so, as the website owner, you want to, make your aspects of the site load in as much as possible on the server, because when you load in things on the server, you have full control over the environment versus the browser and the device. Long, yeah. So the long and the short is you can make it faster, 100%. The question is, how much faster? And you could have a 2, 3, 4, 5x delta. So you can make it a lot faster. Is it, can you optimize for somebody who doesn't have service? No. I think if you can't connect to the internet, it's not a whole lot anyone can do. But it's about making it so that if people can get a connection, that it's as fast as possible. And those milliseconds or even seconds, make up millions and billions of dollars.
It must seem a little, I don't know, if it 100 milliseconds, that doesn't seem like a long time. And yet, 1% of a company that might be turning over billions a year, that's huge. How do you quantify that to somebody that maybe they're skeptical, maybe they're unsure, and you think, oh, well, 100 milliseconds is actually roughly 1% of your business? How does that conversation go?
Yeah, we try to put our money where our mouth is. So we'll run a test. We'll send 50% of the traffic through Nostra. We'll send 50% of the traffic through, how it was pre-Nostra. And you can measure the impact it had on revenue there. And we've done it with us. We've done it with third parties like Facebook. Facebook's run a test, a similar test with Nostra, and they've seen these huge, we often see anywhere from 5% all the way to, we've seen companies that have doubled their revenue because of this. And anywhere in between. But the easiest way to do it is to say, hey, we can just test it. And it's not the 100 milliseconds, it's the 100 milliseconds on average. So that might be taking a couple people from a 3 second experience down to a 2 second experience, and then the 2 second experiences might only get 5 milliseconds faster, but that delta there is still very important.
I guess at that level as well, 1% is a big difference. Like, if you're a small business, 1% might not be all that much. But then, would a small company, would a small business have issues of static versus dynamic content to potentially slow things down? I mean, in the back of my head, Arthur, I'm kind of thinking, well, a small business might need to personalize more because every sale matters, which then might cause the problem to be an even bigger one for smaller companies as well.
The reality is that we have a bigger impact on bigger businesses. Companies that do more revenue, that have more sophisticated technology that is more personalized, we do have a bigger impact. While some small businesses do have some sort of personalization, most don't. So you kind of get a two-tiered reason why we work with larger merchants is one, the impact is larger, and two, and larger in two ways. One is that it makes the website faster than it would for a smaller merchant, because there's more dynamic elements of the site that need caching. So that would be number one. And then number two it makes you know, when you are talking about 5%, let's say that 5% makes up tens of millions of dollars instead of, you know, a couple thousand dollars. And so that's generally why we focus on merchants that are larger. But you know, if you're doing $5 million plus a year, it's still a reasonable thing to look into. But yeah, if you're doing, you know, a couple $100,000 a year, generally what we recommend is it's probably better to spend your resources focused on paid media, SEO, whatever you're doing to build the brand, and kind of the last mile optimizations like Nostra are probably not the right fit just yet.
Also, be curious about the comparison between websites and then the alternative. So whether it's buying just through social media or things like storefronts and supermarkets and shops and that sort of thing. I imagine that being a very different thing because a lot of companies and businesses are now online. And then if things are not going well, i.e. the website is slow, things are not working, links aren't working, it would encourage people to then either go somewhere else online or end up going offline as well. So talk to us a bit about that comparison there.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, people are optimizing their online and offline experiences to work together, right? You know, there's a big push in the retailing world to omni-channel. But I think speeds, you know, being able to communicate effectively to your customers in a time efficient manner is always going to be important. And so, you know, whether it's, you know, merchants or retailers that have, you know, somebody that greets you at the door and helps you find your new jacket as quickly as possible and as a, you know, in as nice a way as possible, kind of a merchant salesperson, or it's you know, when you arrive on the website and the everything loads in right away and you know, you're delivered that experience quickly online, and you're given the content that resonates with you right away. You know, they're the same fundamental human experience that we want to get to, which is efficient, fast, you know, right to what you want, and no kind of dilly-dallying in the sense of like being lost, which I think is great for the consumer. At the end of the day, that's what we really want.
One of the things that I've noticed is that if you go into a shop, the personal experience where the customer service rep is asking you questions, trying to learn about what your preferences are, what you're in the shop for, what you're looking for, that sort of thing, that's also quite time consuming from an offline perspective, which then also makes it difficult, I imagine, to scale that because you can't speak to two or three or four people at once. So I wonder if the website is actually helping this personal experience, but at scale for multiple people at once, which just compounds the sales as well if you're able to handle the traffic. In the if the system breaks, then you might actually be better doing things offline if the website's not functioning highly enough.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, especially in this day and age, merchants are very focused on their kind of return on investment. And if you're not getting it online, you know, offline is definitely coming back.
What would your top, I guess, tips be for people that want to enhance their website? So we've been talking a lot about the power of faster speeds for websites, whether that be shopping cart optimization, whether that be creating the kind of content that allows the website to function. What are some of your best things, or let's say, changes that people can make to a website to make it run faster and more efficiently?
Yeah, I think you know, obviously using Nostra is something that we always advocate for, but simpler the better. It's just that, I mean, my general philosophy on business and building websites is simple. You know, simpler the better. The less you do is often the better. You know, if you can do, you know, more with less, you should always kind of opt to those routes and only add complexity when it's needed. And so along those lines, if you're not using an application or you're not sure about an application's return on investment, it probably, you know, whether that's a reviews widget, whether that's a new cart, you know, whether that's something functional, or, you know, just a little odd to really only use what you need. Because everything else, whether if you can't calculate the return, or what you're not calculating within the analysis there is that it has an impact on site speed, almost every time. And so, you know, if you're just trying to have a fast site that converts well, oftentimes best thing you can do is actually to remove elements from the site that are not totally needed.
That's interesting. How does that play out? How do you consider removing something? Do you just take it out and see what happens to the website? What if it impacts conversions by removing it in a negative way? What kind of balance do you strike with something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you end up removing something and it has a negative impact, you should probably just add it back in. And, you know, I think it's important to measure things to be rigorous in an analytical sense and say, hey, you know, how much is this actually incrementally adding to the business? And so, yeah, I think if you can't do that and you can't quantify it in a way that and it doesn't kind of logically make a lot of sense, you know, to get rid of things. And you'd be amazed on, you know, the amount of websites, you know, I probably look at 30, 40 websites a week, and 9 out of 10 times my advice is to just do less actually. And more often than not, that works out well for the customer.
Find that fascinating how it's so personal. It's so different from one person to the other. And I like what you said about having to test to make sure that it is actually working and being helpful. And I think that can actually be really helpful for people to understand as well, because if it works, then you should probably leave it to do its thing. I wonder if people wanted to find out more about you, Arthur, where can they go? So it could be websites, social media. I think that there's a lot there that people can take away. So how can people learn more about what you're doing at Neustra as well?
Yeah, we're on social media. If you just add me on LinkedIn, Arthur Root, or you know, I'm always very responsive over email. If you want to email me at arthur@neustra.ai, I'm very, very active on LinkedIn and very responsive over email.
Thanks so much for being a guest on the show. Those that are listening, feel free to subscribe, share the show, tell others, and also leave a review wherever you are listening in to your podcasts. Arthur, thanks so much. It's been great, and I look forward to keeping in touch. Thank you.
Likewise, Michael. Thank you very much.